Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk about the fruit that tastes like pulled pork, the obesity gene, and my weekend at the Vegan Street Fair with my co-host Fallon Mercedes. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, here we are. Thanks for waiting. If you have been patiently waiting to watch us, I'm your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on all social media. And I'm here with my lovely co-host. Where can they find you?
Yep, Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
All right, so as you know, Shaka has been slowly trying to... what is it called?
Get you into the vegan lifestyle.
Get me into the vegan lifestyle.
Converting you little by little.
That's what I was looking for. And, you know, we try to pick topics that are educating and about, you know, becoming vegan or vegetarian. And this weekend so happened to be one of the largest vegan festivals in L.A. Our guest last week.
Vegan fat kid, Tim Moore.
Shout out to him. Yeah. You know, he told us he was going to be there, so he invited us down. And we had such a good time.
Yeah.
It really opened me up. And I brought some photos and videos of me and Shaka at the fair. You know, I think there was like 20,000 people there.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. You can see them now.
With this video?
There's going to be a video, yeah.
But yeah, that was, it was like so many vendors. It was awesome.
It's coming, it's coming. Yeah, you can play both videos. And then, you know, some of the food that I tasted was amazing. Everybody was talking about you have to have the street tacos, which, as you'll see in the video and the pictures, I mean, if you didn't tell me that those were...
You would never know that it wasn't pork.
Meat,
yeah.
I would have never known that it wasn't pork in those tacos.
I'm telling you.
They were amazing. If I can cook like that, I can become vegan.
And you
easily.
Can.
All right. Here's me showing you that I'm eating the street taco.
Looks just like me. Wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
And I think I have, like, close-up photos, too, of the tacos, so you can kind of see what it actually looks like. It's pretty dang... I mean, even looking at the pictures, you couldn't guess that it wasn't... I don't know if you see it right there. Like,
yeah.
I tried to bite it so you could see inside. It literally looks like pulled pork.
Yeah.
It looks really, really yummy.
So
and then I have one more video of just me and Shaka, you know, saying hi and at the food festival. We'll play that for you in just a sec. If you guys follow me online at Fit with Fallon, you would have seen it on my Insta story. And then Shaka, you posted some of the photos too.
Yeah, definitely. Like to hit up all social media, right?
Shaka and I here at the Vegan Fair Festival.
What up? We're out here. Out here, you're going to wait through the entire festival.
And I look forward to eating some good food.
And they had everything from like ice cream and cookies and donuts and
it was the first time I've seen people have, how do you pronounce it, kombucha?
Yeah, kombucha, yeah.
And I remember I was getting it with my friend. She had met up with me and they were pouring it out of a beer tap and I was like, are you sure that's not beer? I was a little confused, but I had like a strawberry mint kind of flavor.
Yeah, the way they ferment it. So,
and it was so good. And then I ended up, I didn't tell you this, I ran into our vegan friend who has come on the show, John Sally.
Oh,
he was
great.
Yeah,
I thought he might be there.
Yeah,
we were looking for him, right?
Yeah. It wouldn't have been a real vegan festival,
if he wasn't
if
there.
John Sally wasn't there. So shout out to John Sally. So we chopped it up and I told him, okay, I'm getting ready. I'm getting closer. I'm getting there. Yeah. It was really nice to see so many like-minded people. And it was funny too because like people were rapping on the mic. I don't know if you've heard. And they were like rapping about vegan food.
Yeah, oh, cool.
I don't know if you heard that song. It was big, like the greens, potatoes.
I got the heat. Yeah.
So they like remixed it and was just talking about being vegan and vegan food and how you're more aware and you love life.
Yeah.
And I was feeling the whole like vibe. And I remember driving there. I was on the phone with my mom. She's like, hey, where are you headed? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to this vegan fair. And she's like, you're vegan? She's like, what do you do at the vegan fair? It was just a whole other world. Again, world, I'm not from California. So, East Coast, I don't think. I mean, there are vegans on the East Coast.
Yeah, but it's not a thing. Like, so you'd be like, why are you going to a fair?
And then today, my mom, we were chatting again. She was like, so, how was the fair? How was the food? Was it good? And I got to tell her all about it. So, it was awesome to go. I'm excited to try to attend those more. Yeah. Regularly, yeah, because I feel like you learn so much, you taste so much food, you meet,
and you know where the locations are, where the restaurants are that you can go to that are close by.
Exactly. We saw Donut Friend.
Yeah, Donut Friend was nice. Yeah,
but they did not have my Samoa donut that I wanted.
That was so good. Oh my god! I actually heard it was too funny. This boyfriend and girlfriend got in some huge fight at the vegan fair, and all I heard was him going, "I had to effing try your kombucha. You can effing try my mushrooms." And I was like, I like to hear
that kind of argument, right? Where you're fighting over kombucha, vegan food, and that's awesome. We had a good time. All right, so because I fell in love with these tacos, I had to go home and dig up and do some research.
Where do you get these bad boys, right?
What is it made of? How do I make it? So I have 7 recipes for you and kind of explain what jackfruit is, because that's what made up that pulled pork type of texture and what was in the taco. So if you're wondering WTF?
Yeah.
What is jackfruit? It's a starchy member of the fig family. It's a staple in Asian cuisines, which I didn't know that because I think I eat a lot of Asian food, but I guess I don't.
Yeah, I've never come across, at least Americanized. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. It's also popular or has been popular in the can form. And it's filled with potassium, fiber, anti-inflammatory benefits. And again, when you cook it and you shred it apart, it has this freakishly similar
consistency
look,
and
texture, consistency of pulled pork. All right, so the first recipe that we have is jackfruit street potato curry with spinach. Again, I will post these on my social media, or at least the link, so you can actually get, because I'm not going to read through every recipe. I'll just say the names of the recipes so you can actually learn how to make them. And it's cool, too, because I'm like, okay, I got the tacos. I know I can make that with jackfruit, but what else can I make? So you could do spicy chipotle garlic jackfruit tacos. You could do vegan no tuna sandwich. So this is pretty cool, because in the pictures, from what it looks like for this recipe, it looks like tuna.
Because you can shred it differently.
Exactly.
Yeah,
So I'm like, oh, that actually really looks like tuna. There's pulled jackfruit enchiladas, barbecue pulled jackfruit bowls with Asian peanut slaw, jackfruit and black bean wraps, and jackfruit pilaf. Have you ever made anything with jackfruit?
I like jackfruit sliders, and that's because you can buy it at the store. And
so, which store do you go to?
Ralph's. Just for people out there, if you have Kroger's on the East Coast, or it's just a regular grocery store. It's not like a specialty, like a Whole Foods or anything like that. So they have them prepackaged, and they have them like already kind of with the barbecue flavor. And so I'll just buy the prepackaged jackfruit, and I'll throw it on some gluten free bun. And
is it in the freezer aisle? Or?
They have it like. You know where you get the milk, like in like the more the like refrigerated aisle, not the freezer aisle.
Okay, it's in that aisle. Yeah. Okay, I'm writing that down because I will be making some jackfruit, you guys.
Yeah, it's awesome, and it's like economical too. It's like $6 a pack, and the pack can make 2 or 3 servings.
And like, what does it look like if I were to buy just jackfruit itself?
I've never seen the actual jackfruit. This comes in a prepackage where it's already barbecued, flavored for you, and they have like other flavors as well.
Got it.
So it's easier. So all you gotta do is really heat it up.
Yeah.
But I've never seen the actual jackfruit. Yeah. So we're getting there.
You guys out there, if you have any jackfruit recipes, if this is a staple in your home or something that you love to cook, you have a recipe that I didn't mention today, please let us know, because I really, really want to kind of get my hands on this, master it.
Yeah.
So when I'm fully ready to make the vegan, leap, I will feel very satisfied.
Yeah, because I used to love pork. And I remember thinking, man, I'm never going to be able to have pork again. Yeah. And I had this and I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
And so it makes that transition so much easier when you know you have things to lean on that are way healthier and give you the same sort of mental response.
Well, to be honest, I honestly eat spicy black bean vegan burgers all the time. Veggie patties.
Because it just, at a certain point, you like them more.
Like, the taste is so good. And I know, like, you guys probably, you real vegans, will make fun of me, but it's just like Morningstar.
Yeah.
But it tastes so good. I almost sent you a snapshot last weekend when I went to the grocery store. I bought all this, like, Morningstar products.
Good, though. Hey, you're making that transition.
And then I did, I bought almond yogurt, instead of doing the dairy.
And that's all. It's about making incremental changes a little time. Like, I've always been about. That's why it took me 3 years to go vegan. Yeah. I didn't do it overnight. There's no way. That's awesome. Yeah.
If you guys want to help me, too, if you have, other recipes other than jackfruit, let me know what you guys are doing to be vegan, healthy, and strong.
Yeah, and just to let people know out there, if you're in a Ralph's, I don't know if they do this in Kroger's, but in Ralph's, which is also Kroger's on the West Coast, essentially, in every single aisle, there's a little green section, which I just never noticed until I went vegan, that's kind of denoted by, like, little green banners. And that's where they have the healthiest fare. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're going to find your organic, your gluten-free, and your vegan-type products. Mm-hmm. So just look in the aisles and look where you see the green. That's it.
You know, being from the East Coast, I will never forget when they first made a Trader Joe's in my hometown. And I remember everybody, like, just being in awe that they would have something like that because that type of lifestyle, we didn't grow up like that.
Yeah, it's
so
not like valued, yeah.
When I moved to LA, I mean, there's Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, there's Sprouts, there's everything. And I'm like, wow, this is such a new world. Yeah. There's so much healthy foods that I can go after.
Yeah, Trader Joe's is at least really economical, too, so it's kind of nice. Yeah,
I love Trader Joe's. All right, let's talk about genetic forms of obesity. Mm-hmm. Now, some people say or think that, I guess becoming obese, it doesn't run in your genes, but scientists are aware and have been aware of 24 genetic conditions that can cause obesity.
Yeah.
And this new study, it actually has found more.
Yeah.
So right now, scientists have found 79 rare genetic syndromes where obesity is the key symptom. Now, to be considered obese, your BMI, which they take your height and age and what your weight should be for that ratio, and they give you a number. And if your number falls higher than 30, that means you are technically obese. Me, I have a problem with this because I am 5 feet tall. And any number, I'm obese.
Yeah, for me, I carry a lot of muscle, so sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So do I think. But I like to look at it at the body fat percentage rather than BMI. But again, that's how it's
categorized.
So there's a hormone, we've talked about this before, leptin. It's produced by the body fat cells, which is responsible for that, when you know you're full.
Yeah, that satiety feeling.
Yeah, when you're like, okay, I've eaten enough. Usually when you are obese, you don't get that because your leptin levels are so low.
Yeah.
So you kind of just keep on eating and eating.
And if you get obese, it kind of brings your hormones out of whack, so they're not operating in the optimal way.
Exactly. Now, there only needs to be one mutation in the gene, which will mean you'll be 100% likely or will be obese. So what this means is that in your genes, if you have a mutation, you only need 1% to become obese. So it's not a chance that you will be obese. You will become obese. So that kind of opened my eyes. And not saying that you can't do anything about it.
I was going to say, let's not let this be a crutch article.
Yeah, no. I don't want you to think. But I think we need to be more open and more aware. And I think sometimes, even myself, being in the industry and day in and day out working in it, sometimes I can be a little tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And I have to read articles like this and study up on stuff like this to realize, there are people out there who...
This is a medical condition. Yeah, just like I wouldn't tell someone who was suffering, who lost an arm or a leg that, hey, just get up and walk.
Yeah.
I have to say, look, let me look at it from a different perspective. So I think for people in the industry, this is really important. For doctors, it's really important, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Statistics show that 20% of adults in Canada are obese, mm-hmm. and one-third of adults in the U.S. are obese. So there's really... not much else from this article that I wanted to pull out, but just to show that, you know, genetics do play into a fact that it might cause you to be obese.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Again,
but and this is not the majority of people by any means.
Yeah, this
is a small percentage of people we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, we want to make you aware that whether you are obese, you have the high cholesterol, you're pre-diabetic or diabetic, sleep apnea, all those other things, you know, you working on your health, you working on your nutrition, you working out, period, those things will help. Not saying it will cure what you have, but, you know, you got to be smart. You got to throw yourself into, you know, researching, learning, working with a professional, you know, getting into the gym, working with a trainer, even just getting outside and moving to do something about it.
Yeah, and usually by the time you hit adulthood, your genetics that you're born with are play a very tiny role in the way you look by the time you're like 18 or 19. Mm-hmm.
But when I do see like children, and I saw my sister growing up and my brother as well, they were both very heavy set at a young age.
Well, that's your genetics playing even more of a role at the time.
Exactly.
But by the time you're like 18, I want to say it was quoted maybe like 15% or only your genetics are only affecting the way you look by 15%. But now at that point, your environment may have affected you.
So, and that's what I say too. But it was weird because I was in that same environment.
Yeah.
I was eating the same foods, I was never overweight at a young age.
Yeah.
However, when I started becoming older, 9, 10, 11, I started being a gymnast. I was in gymnastics 6 days a week, competitive.
So that environment started to change the genetics that you might have, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so and that also informed your habits.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got to the point where your genetics made you obese as a kid, and kind of as a kid you gave up, and so you ate even more, then obviously you're going to continue eating more 18, 19, 20, and on to
but
adulthood.
But now I see my genetics working against me. I'm like, no, I got to work so much harder.
Well, then as we age, and we have and that's one thing I tell people about fitness is it's constantly changing. I may have had my fitness figured out by 20, but by 23 it was a little bit different because the way my activity, my metabolism changed, and by 25, you know, things continually change.
It gets harder and harder, and people are like, oh, you know, this must be so easy for you. I'm like, no, it's not.
The minute you figure it out, the body changes again.
Yep.
And so what works for me now is not going to work for me when I'm 40 or when I'm 50 or 60. You know, so I just have to keep innovating.
It's a constant work in process.
And pay attention.
Yeah, paying attention. All right. We have this cool phone device that will be hitting the market hopefully in a couple years.
Cool phone device.
I think it is.
It is cool. It's really
innovative.
Cool.
It's going to help a lot of issues that currently what we're seeing. So there's a phone device test that helps with male fertility, and it's 98% accurate.
This is crazy. So you can test your fertility at home on your phone.
And what I love about this is because, and I'm not trying to,
I don't know. Say it.
I don't want to say all men are like this.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of men don't like to go to the doctor, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to go to a urologist and say, hey, can you test me?
I might have a fertility
issue, that's, you know, it's very...
It's a stigma, and it's like, But now, here's the thing. If I have this app on my phone, you're going to ask to borrow my phone? You're going to say, yeah, I know, I'm good.
Well, what you do is you go to CVS. They'll probably have it at different pharmacies, just like a pregnancy test, and that's what they're hoping. They're hoping it to be just as easy as going to the store and getting a pregnancy test. You get a fertility test. And what you do is you sync it up to your phone. You put your, urine sample on it. It takes a picture, and it can automatically scan what parts of your semen are mutated.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't match up, then it will give you, like, a percentage. And I think if you're 40%, if you're below 15 million per milliliter of semen or motility, that means you're 40% below, and that means you could have fertility issues.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean, you can't have kids at all. However, you know, you might have a chance if you do IVF. Some of that semen might be good enough to do IVF. But now you already know.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to try because in order to be considered infertile or have infertility issues, you have to go 12 months of trying to have a baby with your partner. Yeah. After 12 months of trying and you still don't conceive, then that classifies you as being infertile.
Which is like such a delay if you're trying to start a family. So it's nice to have an app that kind of just lets you know right off the bat, and it's easy to go, you know, and you're not wasting tons of money going to the doctor.
Yeah.
We know healthcare is a little bit of a mess. So.
It is. And statistics show, you know, 45 million couples were estimated, and this is in 2010, to be infertile. So that's 15% of all couples worldwide. 30 to 50% of those couples, it was the men's fault that they couldn't conceive. So this is an easier, cheaper, faster way to get tested. I know I would definitely buy it and like, okay, hubby, when you come home, here, just give me some of your pee. Come on, just put it on this.
It's not a urine sample.
It's a urine sample. You pee in a cup and then it's like a pregnancy test.
I think there's one.
You've probably never taken one. So.
No. Right. I think it's a semen sample.
No, so you just...
I think it's a semen sample. That's the only way for it to test.
Hold on. Now I'm thinking.
Because I remember reading going.
It's a pee test. Hold on.
Yeah, no, it's a semen. It's a semen sample.
Oh, okay. So it's not going to be so easy.
That's why I said you might not want to borrow that guy's phone. You might just say.
I didn't think about that. I'm thinking about girls who just pee in the cup. Yours is a hole. Okay. All right. Excuse me, guys. All right.
But it's still very accurate to me.
Yeah, so. It is. So, yeah. All right. We have this Army veteran who started a fight club to help others, especially veterans, to cope with their PTSD. Yeah. I love this story because I feel like there's a lot of veterans who come back from war who have psychological issues that they don't know how to deal with it, or maybe they don't want to turn to medication. So for Todd Vance, he suffered from PTSD after serving in Iraq. He was part of the 9/11 attacks. And when he returned from home, he found himself coping with alcohol. And then after he went to counseling, his family said, hey, we think you have a problem. You should go to counseling. He was diagnosed with PTSD. When they sent him home, he had a bag of pills. You know, he had mood enhancers, sleep pills, other things. And what he found was they did help, but he started being addicted to those things.
Yeah.
So he went to high school and did a lot of like Muay Thai and different activities. And he felt like, you know what? I don't want to be dependent on prescription drugs or alcohol, so let me return to being physical again to see if this helps.
Yeah.
So he just started doing like a local MMA gym, and he found that his mood was elevated, he was happier, and he found like he was really getting back to his old self.
Yeah.
So then he's like, you know what, I'm going to pay it forward. If this helped me, I want to help other veterans. So in 2012, he started his own practice called POW, which stands for, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Pugilistic Offensive.
Pugilistic Offensive Warrior Tactics. Yeah. It plays on the term prisoner of war because sometimes you could be your own prisoner of your own war that's going on in your head.
Psychologically,
exactly. So since then, he's helped tons of veterans and even people who just, you know, have been affected by PTSD and other areas of their life. And I just love hearing that physical activity can really help you, even with mental.
The science bears it out. We know about endorphins and runner's high and the positive effects in the brain and what's released when you are physically active.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I had a friend who had PTSD and did the same thing. He found that studying different forms of martial arts, and he was able to have a little bit of extra money, so he would travel to Thailand and go study Muay Thai.
That's cool.
And those were the things that kind of helped him work his way out of it to a degree.
Yeah, that's awesome. In a couple weeks, I think I shared this with you, Shaka, we're going to have a counselor on.
Oh, yeah.
She owns her own practice, and I've talked to her on many, many occasions about how there's a real, and people say this all the time, but there is a real mind-body connection.
100%.
And she's going to talk to us about how, you know, your obesity could be caused by PTSD or could be caused by early childhood trauma, things that you've never dealt with. And you use your weight sometimes to cope. And I've seen this with clients. I've seen this even with myself. Sometimes you go through a breakup, you turn to food, you get into a new relationship, you're happy, you turn to food. There's so many ways to cope. You're stressed at your job. So I cannot wait to have her on because she's really going to dive into, I feel like, a realm that has not been tapped into too much.
Well, we don't talk about it that much, but what I was talking about this morning, actually, I was talking about the benefits of yoga, because I think, and about that mind-muscle connection, yoga really checks you into your mind-body connection, not just because of, I have to make my arm do something that's never done before, but there's sort of a meditative aspect of it where it takes you to places mentally, you know, you might take you back to that war field or wherever it was that you start to work out those kind of issues as well. So hopefully she talks a little bit about yoga and Pilates and how that
she's actually
really...
she goes to my gym, and one of the things she was telling me, she prescribes all of her clients, one, to do yoga.
Good, that's
she
awesome.
She said, and we've talked about this on the show, that I think it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks of doing group yoga is equivalent to 12 counseling one-on-one sessions.
I believe it. I have worked some stuff out on the yoga mat.
I believe really it too. So she prescribes yoga. This one I was surprised. Yeah. She told me I and everybody should be getting massages.
Oh, well, I mean, I think everyone's about that, you know.
But see, the thing is I found that interesting because I personally, I don't like massages too much. I feel like they really hurt.
Well, yeah, and you have to find the right masseuse, because some people are really going for, like, the sports massage. It's like, I'm going to break up every tissue, and that's just not cool.
Yeah, but the thing is that I carry a lot of my stress in my shoulders, and the counselor was explaining this to me when I was telling her, and she was saying that you need to break up that stress in your shoulders. It's not just the muscle. It's you got to stop carrying that stress. See, and you get the massage, it's going to help relieve the tension of not just the muscle, but the stress that you carry in general.
I there's got to be a balance, though. There's got to be a balance. Because I had a massage that was so painful once. It made me more stressful, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I might have forgotten about other things in my life because I was concentrating on the pain I was feeling then. But I wanted to get up and, like, hit the masseuse. So I was actually more amped up.
Exactly. Yeah, there definitely does need to be.
So it would be interesting to hear, how do you balance that between, like, someone relieving that stress and then, like, just a bad masseuse who's hurting you?
I usually turn to acupuncture. I haven't done it in a while, but I tend to find acupuncture works a little bit better than for me.
I've never done that. I gotta work on that.
Yeah.
Because you could just have a bad masseuse who's hurting you. So how do you distinguish?
Well,
you
know what I mean? I mean, I've gotten a lot of referrals to this masseuse, so I don't know. I think I just might be a little sensitive touch.
No, I'm saying maybe this masseuse is good, but there, like, another masseuse might just be bad. Yeah. How would I know if it's bad or he's really releasing all my stress? You know, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but I usually turn to acupuncture. It's less painful, even though there are needles.
It looks painful.
The needles are so small, you can hardly feel them.
Okay, cool.
It definitely cured my insomnia for a long time. It was funny. I had bad insomnia from stress and anxiety. Went to an acupuncturist, and I'll never forget, he came into the session. He said, "Honey, your time's over. You know, you look like you were sleeping well. I didn't know you snore." I mean, we're cool. We're friends. But I was like, okay, I think I really did sleep because he knows that I snore. So.
And did you try cupping?
I haven't tried cupping. We got to get my friend on.
Yeah,
we got to give him a call. Yeah, we're going to try cupping. You guys out there, how do you deal with different, you know, issues that you have in life when it comes to anxiety, stress, PTSD? Do you go to a therapist? Oh, there's this new tactic my girlfriend just went to. We should probably check it out. It's called floating. Have you heard of floating clinics?
No.
All right, so there's not too many of them.
I love LA, by the way.
Yes, I love LA. There's not too many of them, but we found one. Well, she found one in Torrance, and it's a clinic, and it has a bunch of rooms. Each room, there's a pool about, like, this much of water, and it's filled with so much Epsom salts that you float automatically, just kind of like the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
And it's complete pitch black in the room. They give you earplugs, and for 45 minutes to an hour, you literally float, and you don't hear anything. You don't see anything. So what it's trying to do is
back to the womb.
Yeah, it's trying to kind of numb your senses.
Yeah,
it's trying to give, you know, your auditory, your visual, all your senses a rest. And at the same time, the Epsom salt is pulling out all the toxins from your body, and it's helping relieve the tension in your muscles.
And that does sound good.
And then after 45 minutes to an hour, they'll slowly turn on music louder and louder so you can wake up and hear, like, oh, my session's
and
over.
And then at the end of it's like screamo music, and you're just like...
Exactly. And the water is body temperature,
okay,
so it's not cold, it's not hot, but I've been reading raving reviews. My girlfriend loved it until she couldn't find the latch for the door to get out.
Did she freak out? Was she like, let me out?
She did. However, she said her session was really good, so I'm definitely...
It became an escape room after a while.
Definitely want to try that. I still need to try icing, cup. We have a bunch to do here on Fit Club on our to-do list.
We'll be refocusing and making sure we get them done.
We'll keep you guys posted. All right. We had a great time with you guys. Stay tuned next week. I believe I have a doctor on, right?
Yeah.
I think that's next week. So we have a lot in store for you. And, reach out to us if you want anything covered, us to try anything new and fancy.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Let us know. All right, you guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on social media. Where can they find you, Shaka?
You can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And we will see you guys next week.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagrammy, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.